for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2008 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday afternoon, December the 27th, 2008. Joey McGee is the speaker of the afternoon, teaching on overcoming anger.
Lord, we just pray that you anoint this message. If you don't anoint it, it's just a bunch of nothing. So, Lord, we ask you to breathe your life into it. Lord, I pray for every person who thinks they've dealt with anger and haven't. You show them the anger and the seriousness, the anger in their life and the seriousness of anger in their life. Father, we praise you and bless you. Thank you, Lord. I thank you that I will be a tree of life, that rivers of living water will come forth from my innermost being. Lord, you said the tongue of the righteous is choice silver. Father, in the name of Jesus, let your words, let the words of our mouths, the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. We bless you, Lord. Bless you. What I want to share is on anger. You know, so many times we think, well, you know, it's okay. It's not okay to be angry. The Bible tells us to be angry and sin not. And what that means is don't let your anger turn into sin. You've got till sundown to deal with it. I used to think when it said, and I bind every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ as Lord. No demon power can work in here. No spirit that can block our understanding. I just bless your children, Lord, with understanding, knowledge, counsel, might, excellence, with the truth that makes them free. In Jesus' name. I used to think when I read, don't let the sun go down on your anger, you give a mighty foothold to the devil. I understood that. But the scripture that says, but be angry and sin not, I used to think that meant pretend you're not angry. my husband say, are you angry? I said, no. You sure? And you kind of got a funny look on your face. No, I'm not angry. Are you sure you're not angry? No, I'm not. No, I'm not angry. Have you ever done that? Just pretending that you're not angry. I used to think that was what that meant, be angry and sin not. But what it means is to recognize, yes, I'm angry. Yes, I have a right to be angry, but I love Jesus more than I love this demon of unforgiveness. I love Jesus more, and I'm not going to love God so much, I'm not going to let the sun go down on my anger. Because it says in Ephesians 4 that if you let the sun go down on your anger, you give the devil a mighty foothold in your life. And so if you're a person that goes to bed night after night angry, can I tell you, you are full of demons? And so you cannot let the sun go down on your anger. I read that scripture years ago. I got saved reading the Bible. And I read that scripture. I never heard that in the church till I went to Milton Green Seminar in 82, and I was saved in 69. But no teacher ever taught don't let the sun go down on your anger until I attended Milton Green's seminars. But prior to that, I got saved reading the Bible, and I read the scripture, don't let the sun go down on your anger, and I remembered that through the years. I had the fear of God on me to let the sun go down on my anger. And one night, my husband and I had a disagreement. And this time it was really his fault. And so I wanted to go to bed, so I went up to the bedroom, and I didn't dare go to sleep without this getting this right. And so I kept waiting around for him to say he's sorry. And probably in 27 years, he probably said he was sorry about four times in 27 years. And so I said, Lord, why is it that I always have to be the one that always says I'm sorry? This time it was his fault. And the Lord said, yeah, it was his fault this time, but you need to say you're sorry because you've got a pride problem, and it's good for you just to have to go and humble yourself. I didn't dare go to sleep, so I went and humbled myself. And then he would say something like, you're not really sorry. You just keep doing the same old thing over again. Then I get mad all over again. I used to think that if I made somebody mad, that God wouldn't forgive me either. But the Bible tells us the blessed are the peacemakers, for peace not the peacekeepers, the peacemakers. I used to be a peacekeeper, you know, just don't get mad at me. And, you know, I just couldn't stand anybody being mad at me. Because whether my mother was mad or not, she always looked mad. And so my interpretation of authority was that they're always mad. And surely, and it was whether I perceived it or I thought it, you know, you're trained up that way. And your opinion of authority is that they're always upset or always angry. And she probably wasn't. She just was busy making a living. And so she was just preoccupied. But, you know, as a little child, you pick up, you receive lies. But the Bible says that we're not to let the sun go down on our anger. Anger is not acceptable. And I just want to read something from Bill Gothard about anger and heart disease. It says, every outburst of anger has the potential to damage muscle fibers in a person's heart. Over the years, scars accumulate, hindering the function of the heart, leading to heart failure and death. Anger also stimulates the adrenal glands to produce hormones called catecholamines, which strengthen a person during times of crisis. When these hormones are released in large quantities, the heart beats more rapidly and powerfully. Some blood vessels contract while others dilate, and the liver increases the level of glucose in the blood, alerting every member of the body. However, when triggered by anger, this energy remains unused because of damaging imbalances in the bloodstream caused by that anger. If the energy is used for violent behavior, even greater damage results in property and relationships. And then how it relates to arteriosclerosis. As blood surges through the circulatory system, arteries bulge and then shrink to normal size with each beat of the heart. Blood vessels are normally quite elastic. However, anger constricts so many blood vessels at the same time that it raises systolic pressure. This increased pressure stretches arteries beyond their elastic limits and causes microscopic lesions along their interior linings. When these linings are injured, platelets in the bloodstream accumulate at the site of each lesion to heal the wound, much like bandages. As the platelets heal the wounds, they release chemicals that attract large amounts of cholesterol, which is then absorbed by the endocrine lining. Each expression of anger increases cholesterol within the endocrine lining, making the artery walls thick and inelastic. And then how it affects hypertension and kidney damage. An imbalance of hormones resulting from anger also damages key organs such as the kidneys. The individual filtering unit of the kidney contains a network of capillaries from which waste is filtered. When this imbalance occurs, the kidney capillaries become clogged, resulting in higher pressure needed to filter blood. The kidney attempts to correct the problem by elevating blood pressure throughout the body by secreting excessive amounts of renin. This results in a higher systolic pressure and hypertension. And then high cholesterol. Many people try to regulate the level of cholesterol in their blood by eating foods low in fat. However, recent studies suggest that anger and other emotional stresses contribute as much to high cholesterol as does diet. The results of unresolved prolonged anger probably nullify any attempts to lower cholesterol levels by means of a low-fat diet. I remember years ago my mother said, Jerry, you're too fat. Have you had your cholesterol checked? And I said to her, Mother, I'm not interested in what my cholesterol or my triglycerides, I could care less. The only thing I'm interested in is my sin count. Sin is at the root of sickness and disease. And I believe that 99% of sickness is rooted in unforgiveness. Somebody hurts you or disappoints you, and you get hurt, you let the sun go down on it, the next day it's unforgiveness, and then the next day it's bitterness. And bitterness is like drinking poison and waiting for someone else to die. Bitterness will kill you. And at the root, bitterness, unforgiveness, and anger, all three go together. Go, if you will, to Galatians 5:19 says, Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, and of course any of these things is idolatry, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And of course, it's not a one-time sin. It's a practice, a habit, a custom, a lifestyle. If someone were to describe you, would they say you're an angry person? If that would be your description, then you could say you practice anger. If they would say, well, maybe last year I saw them get angry, or, you know, they don't seem to get angry, then that's not a practice or a lifestyle. But if something makes me angry, and I shared this with the ladies, I don't get angry easy, but in church somebody said something to me like, they said they were going to do a certain thing, that they were going to, they were just going to go live someplace else and get a different job in a different town because it paid more money. And inside, I didn't let on, but that made me so mad. And rather than take out my anger on the person that said it, I said, Lord, why did that make me mad? And the Lord said that she said she was going to do what your husband did. Well, I have forgiven my husband for everything I can think of, but I hadn't forgiven him for that specific thing. And see, God was letting her mirror what he wanted to heal in me. And I said that with the ladies. Anger is tight, has a hot wire that's linked to idolatry. And if you practice anger, the Bible says you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And I don't know where in the body of Christ we ever receive the notion that you can have a little anger and that's okay. It is not okay. It is not acceptable to God because it is linked to idolatry. Go, if you will, to Deuteronomy 32. I just read this scripture to the ladies earlier. I've read it thousands of times, and every time I see it, maybe not thousands, but it seems like it, because I probably use it at every seminar, I see something different every time. Deuteronomy 32, verse 15. But Jezreel, and I just bind any spirit that would hinder us from hearing, receiving, and repenting in Jesus' name. It says, but Jezreel, which is another word for Israel, it means the people of God. It says they grew fat, which means their heart became so calloused that they couldn't hear God and they produced from the flesh. And now, when your heart gets hard and it gets callous, that's one of the roots to cataracts. And producing from the flesh, hardness of heart and pride are two main roots to eye problems. And I've been studying this a long time, and every time God shows me something different, because to get my eyes healed, I have to keep looking for the reason why I have eye problems. And at least my eyes are no worse, and they're a tiny bit better, bless the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Okay, and it says, now God's people, it means the upright run, the people of God. This is not talking about the heathen. This is talking about God's people. And you know, we died when Christ died. Positionally, we died. We're crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, yet but not I, but Christ lives in us. The life we now live, we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. And so, this is talking to God, about God's people, and we have to continue reckoning ourselves dead. We died in Christ, but we're constantly kicking the coffin lid open. That's what Jack Taylor used to say. You know, you're dead, picture yourself in a coffin, don't keep kicking the lid off. We keep doing that. And so we have to keep on getting sanctified by reckoning ourselves dead, because we know that it's a process that begins when you receive Jesus as Savior till you go on into eternity. Sanctification is a process. And when something makes you mad, there's a reason why it makes you mad. It's rooted in an unresolved childhood issue. And you may be a person like me where you were not. I was never an explosive person until I'd read the scripture, husbands are one without a word. And so I'd keep my mouth shut. And you just let anger get stored up. And after about 6 months, you just, the straw breaks the camel's back and you go, rawr, and blow the board off. You ever done that? You just let it build up. It's still there. God wants you to deal with it. I've learned to, if something makes me mad, to say, God, now what? Why is this making me mad? And then deal with it, and then it won't make you mad anymore. After I forgave my husband for what the person in church said, she wasn't even the issue anymore. I saw that God was trying to get to something in me. Now, had I not dealt with it, then every time I saw that lady, I'd be upset with her. You see what I'm saying? And so God does not want you to let the sun go down on any issue. Most of our problems are rooted in unresolved childhood issues. And when we can learn to deal with the unresolved issues, then healing comes, deliverance comes, sanctification comes, and then the turkeys in our face back off in that area. And then God will let somebody else come into your life to mirror what He's wanting to change again. And it never stops. But that's good news, because after you deal with it, it's gone forever. But if you stuff it, it's not gone. It'll just crop up. It'll crop its ugly head up someplace else. But there's two kinds of people that get angry. There's the explosive type that just blow up every 5 seconds. And there's the kind of person that you don't let you won't let it show that you're angry, but you can just feel it going, you know, just inside you can feel it. But God wants all of that out of you. He wants you to live free of anger. He wants you to dismantle all the hot wires that are attached to idols. Now, I want you to see this in the Word, that they are anger is the root of idolatry. It says, Jeshurun, God's people, grew fat and kicked. Their heart became so callous and so hard that they couldn't hear God. They produced from the flesh. Verse 16, they made him, God, jealous with strange gods. With abominations, they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons who were not God, new gods who came lately. And then I want you to see the repercussions of that. In verse 20, then he, God, said, I'll hide my face from them. I'll see what their end shall be, for they're a perverse and crooked generation, sons in whom is no faithfulness. They have made me jealous with what is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their idols. And now, I want you to see the repercussions of that. So I will make them jealous with those who are not a people, demon powers, and I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation, speaking of demon powers. And so to get rid of anger, you've got to first deal with the idol. Lay down the idol and the anger leaves. You know, anger can manifest in a lot of different ways. If you just feel touchy, or somebody's pushing your button, or your parade gets rained on, or maybe you don't feel anger, but you just feel bothered by something somebody says or does. God has shown me that that is revealing an area of my conscience that is not clear, something I have not dealt with. 1 John 3:21 says that if your conscience is clear, you have confidence before God. That not only means faith and trust in God, but it means freedom of speech. Have you ever had somebody bother you and somebody says, well, have you gone to that person and talked to them about your problem, about the problem you have? You say, well, no, just pray about it, blah, blah. No, I haven't. You know, there's some people you can go to and confront real easy, and then there's other people, there's just something that keeps you. And see, that's revealing that an area of your conscience, you don't have freedom of speech, because there's something in your life, in your conscience, that God wants to deal with. And I personally believe that if you don't get to the spiritual roots to why things happen the way they do, that you won't keep your deliverance. I believe that, I'm not saying that's 100% of the time, but if you want to get free of it and it not come back, then you have to put the axe to the root of the tree. You have to deal with the spiritual roots to things. And so you see that anger is idolatry. And, where it says, when Moses, God hardened Pharaoh's heart, anytime God speaks to you, he says, today when you hear my voice, don't harden your heart. You either harden your heart or make your heart soft, tender, and pliable, and deal with it God's way. Just some things to see about anger, if I can find my notes. There's a lot here to see, but I'm just going to teach an hour. And so anger has its roots in unresolved childhood issues. You're hurt as a little child. Your parents did not. The Bible says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline instruction of the Lord. In any area that a parent does not bring his child up, according to this word, he automatically provokes him to anger, and he's automatically got an issue. You say that again. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline instruction of the Lord. And so when a parent doesn't do that, the child is provoked to anger. So that's where you get your issues. If, as a little child, you didn't take that to God and deal with it His way at the cross, you just let the sun go down on it, making yourself a promise that when you grow up, life's going to be different. And see, that becomes an idol that you chase after your whole life. And so, it's rooted in idolatry. It's rooted in letting the sun go down on your anger. It can come down generationally through forefathers letting the sun go down on their anger. You know, we don't see frustration as a form of anger, but frustration is a form of anger. And I've noticed myself lately, and I'm asking God for the root of it. I would watch my daddy sometimes if he was building something or making something and he couldn't get it right, I'd see him get angry. You know, just not at anybody, but just with life, I guess. And lately I've noticed myself getting frustrated. I have a little business on the side and being frustrated, getting frustrated or saying, oh, brother, oh, you know, we should never say, oh, brother, that's ingratitude, you know. And so I'm saying, Lord, if there's generational frustration there that I don't even see coming down through judging my father for his frustration when things didn't go right, Lord, I want to take accountability for that, and I want you to get that out of me, that generational frustration. You know, I most of the time I live in peace, total peace, and I thank God for His peace that passeth all understanding. But I sell chow puppies to help pay the bills. And sometimes I get frustrated with maybe a dog will accidentally splash some water up in my face or something. Yeah. That frustrates me. Go sterilize my face. No, just kidding. Anyway, anger and frustration is idolatry. God wants us to live in peace. So anger is idolatry. It's a fruit of idolatry. Galatians 5:19 says, if you practice anger, you'll not inherit the kingdom of God. Anger breaks God's righteous law of love. Matthew 22. You know, in Matthew 22, Jesus said that the whole law is fulfilled in this one statement, that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and body, and your neighbor as yourself. And so when you're angry, you break God's law of love. And the scripture in James says, the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God, because anger is the opposite of love. The Bible says love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous, love is not rude, love does not seek its own way, love does not act unbecomingly, love never fails, and the greatest of these things is love. Love forgives. And so anger breaks God's law of love. Anger is contagious. Proverbs 22:24 says, stay away from an angry man lest you become like him. Or don't have companionship with an angry person lest you become like him. You know, if you've ever lived with an angry person, you're constantly making them mad. And if you jump this high, then the next time you have to jump this high, and the next time you have to jump this high, and then you can never please an angry person. The Bible says that if you deliver him, you'll only have to do it again and again and again and again. It says an angry man must bear the penalty, for if you deliver him, you'll only have to do it again. Because he's not repenting of his idolatry. Many of you maybe have gone to anger resolution seminars and how to deal with anger, but maybe nobody's ever told you that it's rooted in idolatry. In fact, all sin is rooted in idolatry. The Bible says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and all iniquity is as idolatry. So anger is contagious. Why? Because if you live with an angry person, you're constantly letting them control you, and you become to bear their image. You become conformed into their image instead of the image of Christ. Romans 8:28 says, everything works together for good to those that love the Lord, to the called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son. So in every trial you go through, God wants to take that trial and use it for good by conforming you into the image of Christ. But if you're with an angry person and you're trying to hop to it and to please them and they're angry, trying to make them happy and they're angry, in their anger, then what happens is you begin to bear their image instead of the image of Christ. And there's where God says, stay away from an angry person lest you become like him or her. Anger can change the chemistry of the blood. Go to Proverbs 14:30, please. Proverbs 14:30, verse 29. He who is slow to anger has great understanding. Now, in Deuteronomy 32, you see a person loses their understanding because of idolatry. And here it's saying, he who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly. Verse 30, a tranquil heart is life to the body, but passion is rottenness to the bones. So God wants you to have a tranquil, peaceful heart, and that's what you can have whenever you deal with your issues. It's a tranquil, peaceful heart. Ike O'Harmon is a teacher, and I don't know if she was some kind of scientist or chemist. I don't know what she was, and I don't know that I would agree with everything she teaches, but I heard her say one thing. You can take the blood out of an angry person and put it in a guinea pig, and it'll kill the guinea pig. So God wants the poison out of our system. And then letting the sun go down on your anger gives the devil a foothold. Go to Proverbs 19:19 says, a man of great anger shall bear the penalty. For if you rescue him, you'll only have to do it again. And you know, Saul was a good example of a person who didn't deal with his anger, and how he ended up after the women in the town were David's great victory. They were saying Saul killed his thousands, but David killed his 10,000s, and he got jealous, and then he tried to kill David, and then he was set up to marry Michael, and anyway, Saul kept setting him up to try to kill him. Threw a spear at him, and at the end of that story, and I believe it's 1 Samuel 18, you have seen how Saul went out and committed suicide. He was wounded, and he has asked somebody, and he ended up killing himself. Mental institutions are full of people who won't forgive. You see, anger and unforgiveness are tied in together. Somebody has said, in fact, somebody sent me this little quote the other day by Ann Landers. And she said, to not forgive someone is to allow a jerk to live in your head free of charge. That's good. It's true. Someone else has said that unforgiveness, holding unforgiveness in your heart, unforgiveness is a bridge to God. If you don't forgive, Jesus said, I won't forgive you. Unrepented of sin and anger puts you in a spiritual prison until you forgive. It says in Matthew 5:25, make friends quickly with your opponent at law while you're with him on the way, in order that your opponent may not deliver you to the judge and the judge to the officer, and you'll be thrown in prison. Matthew 5:26 says, truly I say to you, you shall not come out of there until you've paid up the last sin. If you're angry with 500 people, you're in 500 different prisons. We think it's just one big deal. And so that's why anger has to be released. It says, an unrepentant of anger is a doorway to sickness, disease, rotting bones, and death. Go to Matthew 18, please. You know, you have to forgive yourself, too. I'm the hardest person for me to forgive. I can forgive you real easy, but I have a hard time forgiving myself if I don't do somebody right or... And so you have to also forgive yourself, because in any area you have unforgiveness, you're also tormented. Matthew 18:21. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times. And Jesus said, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a certain king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. And when he had begun to settle them, there was brought to him one who owed him about 10,000 talents, which is about $10 million. But since he had no means to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold and his wife and children and in all that he had, and repayment to be made. The slave, therefore, falling down, prostrated himself before him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I'll repay you everything." And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him for the debt. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and he seized him and began to choke him, saying, "Pay back what you owe." When you do not forgive someone, you're choking them. And when somebody is holding unforgiveness towards you, they're choking you. Matthew 18:28, "But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii and seized him and began to choke him, saying, 'Pay back what you owe.'" You know, you may not see their hands around your neck, but can I tell you that in the spirit realm, their hands are still around your neck. I was at a seminar, and a man who'd been a pastor came up to me for prayer, and he had arthritis in his hands. And so being a pastor myself at one time, I said, "Have you forgiven your congregation?" He said, "Well, I think I have." And the Lord gave me a revelation of it was like a vision that he had his hands around his congregation's neck, choking them. And when I led him to forgive that congregation, God took all the arthritis out of his hands. I know another lady that was in San Antonio at one of my seminars, and she had carpal tunnel in her hands. And she worked for a pastor in San Antonio. And she had judged him as being a hypocrite. And she was angry at him as she did her work, her typing or whatever. And so she had carpal tunnel in her hand. When I led her to forgive him, God healed the carpal tunnel from her hands. You see, I have another friend that is angry and bitter that she has to stand on her feet as a hairdresser. Her husband, goodness, 20 years, 25, 30 years ago, left her for another woman, and she's still bitter at him that she has to work, stand on her feet, and has arthritis in her feet. You see, if arthritis is in your feet or your legs, it has to do with being bitter toward your past. Not being happy the way your life is gone. And so there's a reason. And you know, you can go to the doctor with all these things, but that's not going to heal it. But if you find the spiritual root to it, God will heal you. Hallelujah. Besides that, it'll spare you of all the pain of the band-aids. And so, let's keep reading. Verse 29. So his fellow slave, He began to choke. He said, let me go back up. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and he seized him and began to choke him, saying, "Pay back what you owe." So his fellow slave fell down and began to entreat him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I'll repay you." He was unwilling, however, but he went out and threw him in prison until he should pay back all that he owed. Now, it would be like, I'll use Geraldine. It'd be like, I'm angry. God just forgave me for more than $10 million. And then I go outside of God's presence and I say, "Hey, Geraldine, you owe me $18. And she says, "I don't have it." So I choke her and I throw her in prison. So God uses this parable to say he's the king and he's forgiven us for more than $10 million. And isn't it ridiculous that we can't forgive someone else for an $18 debt when he's forgiven us for a $10 million debt? So his fellow slaves saw what had happened. They were deeply grieved and came and reported to their Lord all that had happened. It'd be like you would see what I did to Geraldine and you'd go tell God on me. And so then the Lord said, then summoning him, his Lord said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you entreated me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave, even as I've had mercy on you?" And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should begin to repay all that was owed him. And Jesus was talking to Peter in this parable, and he said, "So, Peter, so shall my heavenly Father also do to each of you who does not forgive your brother from the heart." Now, how many of you have said, "I forgive," and it won't go away? Or you say, "I forgive," and then a day later, you're still wanting to argue with them in your head. Or 3 weeks later, you think about it again, you go, "Rah, rah, 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 rah." You're thinking, "Well, when they said this, I should have said that. And when they said that, why didn't I say that? Rah, 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 rah." You know what I'm talking about, right? One day, I went out to lunch with someone, and we had a disagreement. And she said she was sorry, and I said I was sorry. The next day, I was still arguing with her in my head about what I should have said. I was thinking, how, she's so rude. I was thinking about all that in my head. And finally I said, "Well, Lord, I've said I was sorry, and Lord, she said she was sorry. Why can't I get over this?" And the Lord said, "She's reminding you of things that you haven't forgiven your mother for." And I said, "Well, Lord, I don't know what to forgive my mother for." And the Lord said, "Forgive your mother for everything you don't like about her." So I said, "Oh, I forgive my mother for this. I forgive my mother for that. I forgive my mother for that. I forgive my mother for that." And my poor mother, I had a good mother. One day I told her after I was grown, "Mother, if you treated me like this when I was a child, I'd have a wounded spirit." And she just laughed at me because all she did was spoil me. And Lord, I forgive her for spoiling me. And so I just started forgiving. I forgive my mother for this. I forgive my mother for that. And it was completely over. You see, from the heart means back to the generations or back to your childhood. Now, there's other times, Geraldine may say, picking on Geraldine today, Geraldine may say, "Jerry, would you forgive me for what I said yesterday?" I say, "What did you say?" "Well, I said this, this." I didn't even think any more about it. You see, that's not from the heart issue. That's easy to forgive. You don't even think about it. But if you can't forgive, you got to go back to the heart issue, the doorway of where unforgiveness came in. Does that make sense? So that's why you've not been able to forgive. You haven't gone back to the heart issue, which is a mother-daddy issue or a grandma-grandpa issue, usually a mother-daddy issue. And you know, after I did that, it was totally over. There was not one bad thought toward that girl again. God used her to mirror what I hadn't forgiven my mother for. And so those of you who are married, if you have problems with your mate and you're trying to forgive them, you need to go back to, you need to get in your prayer closet and say, "How does this situation fit in with my childhood?" And deal with mother-daddy issues. I hope that makes sense. So unrepented of sin of anger, the sin of anger, causes you to be turned over to the torturers. And that word in the Greek means demons that inflict pain. It means the pain of disease. It means inquisitor. An inquisitor is a jailer who stretches someone out on the rack and they torture them till they get what they want. So if you want to be tormented and you want to hold unforgiveness, you can keep your demons. I like what Derek Prince says. He says, if you're holding $10,000 worth of IOUs in your hand and God is holding 10 million IOUs, and God says, "I will if you will," he said, "understand it this way. Forgiving another person is not a tremendous sacrifice. It is merely enlightened self-interest. Anyone who's not willing to cancel a $10,000 debt for a $10 million debt is lacking in business sense." You can't afford to not forgive. And let me tell you, when I get in bed at night, I even sometimes, if I watch Fox News or CNN, I have to forgive the politicians. I have to forgive the Fox News people. I have to forgive all the nitwits on TV. And you know what? It's getting where it's appalling because I see through what they're doing. They are manipulating. The news media is owned by the one world government people, and so they send you the propaganda they want you to have. And don't believe a word of it. If you want the real news, get on the internet, and there's some really good sources. WorldNet Daily is a good place to get good information. And there are other good, and there's a lot of bad stuff there too, so you have to filter it. Unrepented of anger is a doorway to the root of bitterness. It says in Hebrews, "See to it that you let no root of bitterness take you over and many people be defiled. If I don't forgive, I've opened myself up to bitterness. And you can be bitter in a million different areas. Wherever you have a breach in the heart, wherever you have an issue. You know, so many times we think, well, I've forgiven my daddy, I've forgiven my mother. Generally you have, but in deliverance and inner healing, you've got to forgive specifically. I forgive my daddy for being a drunk. I forgive him for not valuing me. I forgive my mother for being lazy, irresponsible. I forgive them for lying to me, being thieves, being alcoholics, not training me up in the way I should go. Every different specific thing has to be forgiven, and the minute you forgive, the demon backs off. It's not a big fight or a big struggle. I was in Houston, and I was at a warfare conference, and I was sitting behind some people that spent the whole break time. I got almost about an hour or two trying to cast the demons out of this lady in front of me. And I was in the back just observing. They weren't even dealing with spiritual roots to things. They were just coming against it, and they couldn't get it out. And then her friend came back and sat down beside me and said, I said, you know, she just needs to repent of this and this. The lady said, we'll pray for her. And I really didn't want to get involved. And you know what? When I led that lady in repentance, within 2 minutes, that lady was free. You see, there's a reason. You don't have a demon problem. You've got a God problem because of your idolatry. Repent of your sin and the demons. My friend Milt Green used to say, boo, demon, and it's gone. Amen? And if you don't repent, it's headed down Sikkim. You see, when you're in God's refuge, you're protected. You get out in sin, and you get attacked by the enemy. When you're letting God control you, you're safe. But the Bible says, if your ways please the Lord, it makes even your enemies to be at peace with you. Now, Psalms 91 says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God will abide under the shadow and protection of the Almighty. But you get outside of here in the realm of rebellion, and guess what? You're the devil's target. God says in Psalms 41:10, I know God is pleased with me when my enemy does not shout triumph over me. Amen. And being angry at someone gives them the power over you. It's like they're just tied around your neck. Being angry at someone causes you to become like the one you're angry toward. Matthew 7:1 says, judge not lest you be judged. Romans 2:1 says you become like who you judge. And then anger is a flood. Proverbs 27:4 says, wrath is fierce, anger is a flood. But who can stand before jealousy? So why don't you stand up? Whatever makes you angry is the idol. For example, if you get angry when people reject you, the idol is, I can't be rejected. If you get angry because nobody will communicate with you, the idol is, you've got to talk to me. And see, that always goes back to mother and daddy who didn't talk to you. If mother and daddy talked to you, it don't make any difference who else did. You see what I'm saying? If your mother and daddy love you, you feel so secure, you don't even notice nobody else loves you. But if your mom and dad don't love you, you don't think anybody loves you. Is that right? And so it goes back that whatever makes you angry is the idol, and it came in because your mother and father violated the word of God in training you up. Does that make sense? So you've got to deal with mother and daddy. You've got to lay down the idol. And the way I lay it down, I say, Lord, if it glorify you the most for nobody in the world to love me or accept me, so be it. But devil, you can't touch me because I'm in the hands of the potter. Amen? I'm in God's hands. Okay, stand up and detect the idol, whatever makes you angry, and then deal with the doorway from the heart of where it came in through mother and daddy violating the word of God and training you up. Lord, I ask for the truth that makes me free.
Lord, I ask for the truth that makes me free.
Lord, what makes me angry?
Lord, what makes me angry?
What pushes my button?
What
reigns on my parade?
What reigns on my parade?
Lord, in Jesus' name.
Lord, in Jesus' name.
I ask for the truth.
I ask for the
that
truth
makes me free.
That makes me free.
What do I need to repent of?
What I need to repent of.
To get rid of the anger.
To get rid of anger.
And what doorway?
And what doorway?
Show me how it came in.
How it came in.
Show me what my mother and dad did.
Show me what my mother and dad did.
or they didn't do, or my forefathers did or didn't do, that opened me up to a heart issue. I want to resolve it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And just deal with whatever the Lord shows you, and then sit down when you're through, and for letting the sun go down on my anger and turning to false gods instead of turning to you. Lord, to protect my heart, I turn to promises I made myself that when I grow up, life's going to be different. And Lord, life hasn't been different because you've caused my idols to turn on me. You don't let me have my idol. When I am your child, you see to it. You said that I shall have no other gods before you. So Lord, forgive me for all the times as a little child I turned to promises, vows, and false gods. I break them. I forgive my mother and father for everything you've shown me, Lord. And Lord, in Jesus' name, I forgive myself. Lord, I forgive each person that you've shown me I need to forgive. I forgive all those people my forefathers wouldn't forgive. Lord, I've been turned over to the tormentors, demons that inflict pain, the pain of disease. Forgive me for choking people and putting them in prison. And I forgive those who've choked me and put me in prison. Forgive me for saying I'll never be like my mother. I'll never be like my father. Forgive me for saying I'll never have a home like them. Forgive me for saying that I'll never marry anyone like them. Lord, I break those vows. Can I tell you, 99% of the time when you get married, you're living with your mother or daddy. You're either going to be like them or you're going to marry someone just like them. So it's better. I wish I'd have known these principles when I was young. In the name of Jesus. You know, I don't date him. I've been single for 10 years and I don't date anybody. But if I did and they told me what they thought about their mother and daddy, I could tell you exactly what kind of marriage I'd have. I'm serious. Because I know enough about Beirut judgments to know not having to deal, and besides having to deal with my stuff, I'd know just what I'd have to endure in a marriage. So that's why it's good to deal with your mom and dad issues. The quicker the better. And God, you know, because mother and daddy and many, no parent's perfect. I don't care how perfect they try to be. There's going to be violations of the Word of God. And when we become saved, then God sets out to retrain us. That's why the Bible says, whoever loves discipline loves his own soul. God retrains us, and the way he retrains us is to allow turkeys in your face to show you what you haven't dealt with yet. Amen? Just like with my mother, when I said, I forgot what I need to forgive my mother for, the Lord said, forgive your mother for everything you don't like about her, because she was the turkey at the time. So if you can remember those principles, it's an ongoing thing. It's a way to live, live an overcoming life. So Lord, in Jesus' name, I do forgive from the heart. Forgive me for judging my mother and father. Forgive me for dishonoring my mother and father. Forgive me for letting the sun go down on my anger. And Lord, forgive me for the sorrow that leads to death. I now repent. I thank you that I can go to you. I thank you that you're not like my mother and father. You're perfect. So I come to your throne of grace now. And Lord, if it glorify you the most, for me to never have what I think I ought to have, and for nobody to treat me the way I think I ought to be treated, so be it. But devil, you cannot touch my life because I am submitted to the hands of the potter. And can I tell you, that's the perfect love that casts out fear. God knows what you need, when you need it, if you need it, and when to give it to you if you need it. Now, you don't pray that way if you're not fearful or if it's not an idol, because God says you have not because you ask not. Ask and you shall receive. Jesus said you'll have what you say. Amen? But that's when there's idolatry and there's fear and there's anger. Okay? Make an altar like Abraham did Isaac. Lord, I make an altar like Abraham did Isaac, and I take all of my sadness, all of my grief, all my hurt, all my pain, all my relationships, my mother, my father, my children, up the mountain. And Lord, from this day forward, they're your problem. And I am submitted to you, the potter. I yield to you, Lord. Now I just break the power of addictions. I break that yoke of bondage. I break the power of pain, of vexation, of provocation, hurt, idolatry. The word says remove vexation from your heart and put pain out of your body. Praise you, mighty God. Praise you, mighty God. I come against the spirit of greed and I say move. I come against covetousness. I say move. I come against anger, grief, sadness, sorrow. I say move, hurt, move in Jesus' name. Unforgiveness, I say move. I tell the tormentors, back off, move in Jesus' name. Bless the Lord. Praise you, Lord. When you feel a release, lift your hands and sing with me. And oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. And Lord, I just bless your children. I ask you to bless them. I just ask you to seal this word to their heart in Jesus' name. I ask that they live. I bless them with an overcoming life in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. And we bless you for the food. We thank you that for another day of freedom in America. Yes. We thank you that we can go to the grocery store no matter how high the food is and buy it. Yes. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings we have.
You,
oh, we praise you, Lord, for all the blessings. We praise you for jobs. We praise you for vehicles. We praise you for gas. We praise you that we have electricity. We praise you that we have water. We praise you for health. We praise you. We bless you, Lord. Wouldn't it be sad to have lose everything you have and then think, why didn't I be thankful when I had it? If you had everything you had taken away, wouldn't it be sad if you thought, why wasn't I thankful when I had it? And I'm telling you, days are coming in America when, you know, I believe God's going to protect us, but I'm going to tell you, there's the hard times coming. And we better get our life right in Jesus' name. One world government is right around the corner. I don't know if this is turned off or... I don't need you. Oh, it's okay. No problem. God bless you. And Lord, bless the food. We ask you to bless it, purify it, sanctify it. Bless every person in the kitchen. Bless our fellowship. Bless our time. And Lord, from this day forward, don't let us hold sin in our life overnight or any other time. Let us quickly get over it in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.